And I'm wondering, as you guys have listened through these last three messages, I'm wondering about your season of Gethsemane and what you're dealing with and what you've told the Lord. You know what? I feel like I am being pressed and crushed. I feel like I am in the pressing. I am in the crushing. I am feeling the weight of the oil press on top of me. I feel like I am grieved, maybe not to the point of death, but I'm definitely grieved to the point of depression. I'm grieved to the point of no hope. I'm grieved to the point of, will things ever turn around? I am staring at my situation in a Gethsemane season in my life, and I just cannot, I hear what you're saying, Autumn, but I just cannot see a resurrection. I cannot see hope. Even though it's Easter, it is so hard, so far gone. I just cannot see it. To you today, this is for you today. I want you to read the words of Jesus. My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death.
It's time now for the Autumn Miles Show.
Hey, hey, guys, it is your girl. Happy Easter. Autumn Miles coming at you with my Easter message 2024. Can you believe it is Easter? Happy Easter. Easter is my most favorite time of the year, except for Christmas. And I absolutely love it. I love everything about it. I love the trees. I love the blooms. I love, all the things. And so we are going to talk about Jesus today, all about Jesus and his resurrection. And we are actually going to continue in our series today because, you know, the Bible is so relevant that it just worked out that way. Food for the Soul, part four. Okay. This might end us up because, I mean, how do you get any better than the resurrection of Jesus? You just do not. So I actually have a whole outline of what I was going to say. And then the Lord directed me to something different this morning. And so we're going to talk for the fourth installment of Food for the Soul, part four. I want to say thank you for being real in your emails to me. You guys know I'm a tell it like it is kind of person. And I love that you guys are too. You know, you can have all the success in the world. You can have all the money in the world. You can have all the, you know, letters behind your name in the world. You can have all the degrees in the world. But there is just, and all that is great and it's a good thing. But I really do think there is something to be said for just being yourself and being transparent and being real about what we face. I mean, you can have a triple PhD with, you know, seven master's degrees and have $40 billion in the bank. But if you're not relatable and if you're not yourself, what's it all for? Like, the freedom to be yourself is big. And I've always said I am excellent at being Autumn Miles. I'm excellent at being her. I'm not good about at being anyone else. And it's crazy. The more and more emails that we get on a regular basis, you guys are too. We've gotten some real, real raw ones lately. And I was talking with Amanda. I just feel like that shows that you trust us and you see us as people that care and who love you and stuff like that. So thank you for your emails to us. Thank you for your messages. Thank you for your, hey, this really, you know, encouraged me. All that communication means a lot. I'm super huge on communication. And so that means a lot to me. I met someone last night and I think I'm going to have him on the show, you guys. I think we need to. I think he's going to be one of our what God is doing in my life people. I met him last night and the show had impacted him. He actually used to listen when I was on the radio and we just happened to be at the same meeting last night and he knew who I was because he had listened for a long time and his story is incredible. And I sat there as I was listening and talking and meeting with him and hearing how what we have done has impacted him. You know, a lot of times I know that we're reaching thousands of people every week because I see I see how many downloads we have, but every download equals a soul. And it's difficult. We're doing all this in faith. It's difficult sometimes to, you know, we know that we're doing it for people, but it gets really, really real when someone walks up to you and tells you their story and says, if it wasn't for your show, .. And last night that happened to me. Yesterday was I had a really bad day yesterday. It was really, really hard day. And last night I went to this meeting and he was there and it just gave life to me. So every time that you send us one of those really raw emails, every time that I meet you guys out in person and you recognize my fluorescent blonde hair, which I'm getting bleached again tomorrow. Thank you very much. Every time that happens, it's the Lord's like a God kiss to me saying, keep going, keep doing this, keep doing this. I'm still in this. I'm still using this. And that's really powerful. So anyway, just wanted to say thank you for that and give you a little aside there. It is Easter week. I love Easter. What is happening in my life? Well, this morning I get up and I don't want to say rigid, but it's rigid routine in the morning. Okay. I can tell you what it is. My alarm goes off. I sit for a second. I have transitioned my time with the Lord until after I get my kids off to the bus in the last couple of months because I just have more peace that way because they're not there. Moses started getting up with me at 4:45, 5 a.m. And I'm like, listen, bud, I love you so much, but mama needs alone time. So I love that we have that special time in the morning, but I do need solidarity with the Lord to fight my day. But I have a very strategic routine. Get up, both of the kids bathe in the morning, get them in the bath, make their breakfast, get their vitamins, get their whatever. Clean their backpacks because my 9-year-old son desperately needs me to clean his backpack, make their water bottles, snacks, all the things, talk to them about their day. And if we have time, they get to watch one Bluey episode before I take them to school, which is 7 minutes long and it chills them down before we get in the car. Okay. We stick to this routine because kids need routine, right? Today, my daughter comes down. She is recently really into pancakes. So I make her pancakes every day, not homemade, like frozen ones that I heat up. She's eating her pancakes and she's like, Mom, I need $5, but I can't tell you what it's for. And I was like, no, I'm not giving you $5. But Mom, I need $5, but I can't tell you what it's for. Then you're not getting my $5. And they're like Moses and Haven, they will gang up against you like in a second. Like they will look at each other and they'll give each other a look. And I'm like, no, you're not doing that. Mom, I need $5 too. Okay, well, what do you need $5? I can't tell you. Okay. And I said, well, here's the deal. I'm not giving you $5 unless you tell me what it's for. Because no way. I mean, you don't know. What if they're like buying candy on the side at school or something? Like, I don't know. What if they're, I don't know. What is $5 for? Haven looks at me and she goes, Mom, it's for a baby chick. I said, like a chicken? Like a chick? Yes, Mom. We need another pet. It's only $5 and the school is selling them. I'm looking at her and I'm thinking, okay, this is my child that loves the zoo, that loves all of those things. And I'm like, how do I let her down easy? And I just look at her and let her down super easy and say, we are absolutely under no circumstances buying the $5 chick from the school. But Mom, it'll sleep with me every night. Yes, it'll poop all over you every night. But Mom, they're so cute and squishy. Yeah, our dog will eat it. No $5 chick. But Mom, it'll be my pet. No, it's probably going to die in 3 days. But mom, I just need this chick. And it's only $5. So this messed up the otherwise very zen, peaceful, strategic schedule that I have every morning in my day. And so we get into the car and she's like somber. I pray for them every day. So I prayed over them in the car. And when I was done, I'm like, in Jesus' name, amen. Mom, please, I'll do anything. I'll unload the dishwasher for a year for $5 so I can buy a baby chick. No, under no circumstances. And do you know that that child, up until her tiny little body exited my car to go into the school, relentlessly begged for a baby chick? The last thing I said to her was, Mom, I just need $5. That's all I need. I said, I love you. Have a great day. She gets out the car and she turns around and looks at me as she's in sadness as she walks into the school. But I just want to say, I do not regret my decision not to buy the baby chick. I stand by my decision not to buy the baby chick. And if Haven comes and tells you that I did not buy her a baby chick, it's true. I will not do it. I told her in that moment, I love that you love animals, God's little creations, but we will never, ever purchase a baby chick unless it's a chick coop and we harvest the eggs. That's the only way we're going to do it. That's probably what she's going to ask for whenever she gets home. But anyway, happy Easter. That's what's happening in my world. I know why the school is selling those baby chicks for $5, because they don't want them. That's why they don't want them. So they're farming them out to us. Anyways, if you want a baby chick, email me. I can tell you where to buy them. Okay, so that's what's happening in my world. We are going to go straight to our Easter content after the break. Love y'all so much. Hang tight. I'll be right back.
We have a liftoff. Yeah, stand on a rock and I roll like a lion. Demons came at me, I knew they were lying. Put on my armor and then started shining. Unloaded a clip, the spirit was flying. Pressure been building, it's all about timing. Stand on a rock, I stand on a diamond. Stand on a rock, a vessel like duck. Demons came at me, I put them in chuck. Firm foundation, my fear got popped. God on my life and he put it on lock. Holding the city since 14. Yeah. Put an enemy to sleep like it's codeine. God got my back and it's home like an OG. Yeah. So I'ma keep fighting like it's OT.
Hey guys, it's Autumn, and I want to know, family, what is God doing in your life? If you have a recent praise report about God's faithfulness, we all want to know about it. I want to know, my team wants to know, and your brothers and sisters in Christ that listen to this show want to know. You can share your story by emailing hello@autumnmiles.com, or you can direct message me on Facebook or Instagram by searching Autumn Miles at the top of the page. I want to hear about it, guys. Let's tell the world what God is doing in your life so we all can be encouraged by your journey of faith.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Okay, guys, we're back. Don't we love our little babies? Don't we love our little chicks? I just love them so much. Okay, so I was praying about my Easter message. I feel Easter in me this year, okay? I feel newness. I feel Easter. I went to Magnolia Market last week for the first time with my daughter. She was checking out Baylor, the school. And Magnolia Market is like literally a mile from Baylor. And so we went over there and I walked into Magnolia Market, which, by the way, is like the bomb. I mean, it's beautiful. I walk in, I'm like, wow, this is what heaven is like. But there was this aroma in Magnolia Market, and they, you know how they do. You know how those marketing geniuses do. You walk in, they get you with the smells, the sounds, the taste, the sight. They get you every way, okay? And I'm looking around and I'm like, Grace, I have to know where that smell is coming from. And so obviously I know it's a candle because they're burning 700 of them. I go up to this candle and the candle is called Fresh Start. And I pick up the candle and smell it, even though it's burning, because I want to know. I'm a huge candle person. And they're not cheap. Like, these are not like, you know, $9.99 candles that you get at Target. Okay, this thing was, it was hefty. It was expensive. Dare I say overpriced extremely by 30%. But I love the smell of this candle. And we're at Magnolia Market. And it's like a destination. Like, people go there in Texas to, you know, visit. Someone we heard was taking their whole vacation there. And I was like, wow, I'm really glad this is an hour and a half from Dallas. Anyway, I'm looking at this candle and I'm like, this is what's up. I think I'm gonna have to buy this candle. There was a smaller version. But I did the math on the ounces and realized, girl math, the bigger version would be the better value, right? And I'm looking at this giant overpriced candle thinking, I have to have it. I just have to have it. I need it in my house. If you ever come to my house, there will be a candle burning of some sort. I'm huge on candles every season. I have my favorite flavors. My kids, I don't even think they would know it was my house without there being a candle. I light it early in the morning when I get my coffee. I blow it out. Well, Eddie always blows it out when I leave because he's like, we're not wasting money, because he doesn't care about candles, but I do. So we have this candle burning. This candle is supposed to burn 150 hours. It's enormous. And so I'm counting on it. If it doesn't burn 150 hours, I'm taking that sucker back and I'm going to return it. But I look at this candle and I finally look at Grace and she's like, man, the marketing really got you this time. And I'm like, I know. And I'm never one of those people that does that, but it just got me. And the name of the candle was Fresh Start. And there's something about Easter resurrection that I am identifying with this year in that whole word, fresh start. I've used the word fresh probably 300 times in the last couple of months. I've used the word start probably the same amount, maybe in different, you know, conversations. But fresh start just really seemed to be the theme of the day and the theme of my season. And I think it's because before a fresh start, there has to be an end. And in the last year, Eddie and I can look back in, you know, even the last legit 12 months, I can look back and I can count how many things in our life that God has called and brought to an end. Life as we knew it a year ago looks completely different. My husband, he was self-employed for years and years and years, and now he's not. There's a lot that goes with that when you give up that kind of freedom, that you realize, God, you've got to be in this, because to the world, this looks stupid. To the world, everyone wants to be self-employed. To the world, everyone wants to run their own business. But sometimes God throws you a curveball and it is his way and it is his will. And so we submit to that. And in, that's one of the big ones. There's a myriad of others. One of them would be my daughter, her, this entire season of her life coming to an end, and us going to Baylor, which is a college, and saying, God, is this the fresh start that you have for my child? I've seen so many changes in myself personally. Never in a million years did I think I would be a pastor at a church. Never. I just didn't see that for myself. I thought, no, the church kicked me out. Nope. I'm not doing that, because I'm going to do my thing. Church can do their thing. I will always adore and love the church. It is God's plan A, not his plan B. The church is the bride of Christ. But I just don't think that's where I'm called until the last 12 months, when God said, you remember what you told me you would never do? That's what you're going to do. So in this season of fresh start, I've been able to look back and say, a lot has had to die. There is grief associated with death. It's not just the death of a person. It's the death of an idea, the death of maybe what your life was going to look like or what you thought. The death of a season in your child's life, which you look towards the future and you're so excited for, but you grieve what is leaving nonetheless. And all the moms with the kids in school, college said, amen. I've been in this season, this resurrecting season inside of me, you know, now for a couple of months. And the Easter story is pregnant with hope as we move into us personally move into this fresh start, this new season, this new resurrected life that God has called us to. And as I'm thinking of all of that, I'm thinking of, you know, the series that we're in, Food for the Soul. And we have talked about Gideon. We have talked about your craving. Your cry is your crave. We've talked about him desperately needing peace, but he needed peace in him. He didn't need peace in his circumstances. Last week, we talked about the woman at the well. I got really emotional because I hear from you women, you guys, out there all the time, who are emailing me and who are telling me of scenarios that are very close to what is represented in this story with the woman in Samaria at the well. She had a soul craving for love, and Jesus met her right there. But I want to talk today about what Jesus says about his soul. This is a fascinating passage of scripture. I love this passage of scripture. And it's like the Lord reminded me of this morning, an hour before we came to record today. Matthew 26:36 says this, "Then Jesus came with them to the place called Gethsemane and said to his disciples, 'Sit here while I go over there and pray.'" Now, several things are happening in this passage. If you don't know the passion account of Jesus in the Gospels, read it, because it's the way, the truth, and the life. It is hope for you. But we have Jesus. He has just left the upper room with the disciples having the Last Supper, and they have traveled to Gethsemane. Now, the crazy thing about Gethsemane is that Gethsemane actually means oil press. What did I talk about with Gideon? I talked about him beating out the wheat to separate it from the chaff in the wine press. Now, the wine press is obviously where you go to crush the grapes in order to make wine. The oil press, where do you think you go to get oil? Which was a lot in those days. You go to an oil press. So the word Gethsemane is extremely deep and rich in meaning. We saw it with Gideon in a totally different way, and now we see it with Jesus. He's in this garden called oil press. And what they would do when you press an olive, you take the fruit of the olive, the circular fruit of the olive, you put it together, you crush it first, and then you press it in a way that the oil comes out, and that's the costly part. In the Garden of Gethsemane, in my study, I know that even still today, there are ancestors of the same trees, olive trees, that Jesus probably prayed under. Gethsemane, in and of itself, is telling us something incredibly powerful. Here Jesus goes. That's where he chooses to go. The oil press. The garden of the oil press. Not the Garden of Eden, which is the garden of luxury and peace and harmony and the way the earth was supposed to be. Now he heads into the garden that will ultimately deliver him to destruction so he can restore life. It's not lost on me. Verse 37, he says, or 36, "Sit here while I go over there to pray." He's got his disciples with him. "And he took with him," I talk about this in Gangster Prayer, "he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved and distressed. Now, I don't know if you've looked at Jesus in this way ever, but you need to understand that while Jesus was at peace and while he was performing miracles and on all of those things, Jesus knew why he was sent to earth. He knew, as God's only son, why. He knew when he looked at Mary in the temple, am I not to be about my father's business, is what he told Mary. He was very aware of his calling. So he was very aware of what was coming. He had told the disciples, I'm going to go away, but I'm coming back. He knew. He had warned the disciples. He had prepped the disciples. He knew, and he told the disciples, the hour is at hand. He knows what's happening. He says, what does he say? I need to pray. He sends the disciples away, but he takes three of them with him. He begins to get grieved and distressed because this is what happened to Jesus. The entire wrath of God was spilled out on his son. He knew that was coming. We've talked about Gideon's grief. We've talked about his soul craving. We've talked about the craving of the woman in Samaria. And here we have Jesus knowing he is going to bear all the dysfunction, all of the sin, all of it. And he is going to be the lamb that is slain to pay for the cravings and yearnings and sin in everyone's life that had ever lived, will ever live from that point on. He knows this. I cannot shake the power of this passage. He began, verse 37, to be grieved and distressed. I think of Gideon as grieved. I think of the woman in Samaria at the well as distressed. But they are not, or were not, this grieved and distressed. Then, verse 38, he said to Peter, James, and John, my soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch with me. I think we need to talk about this line more than we do. I've talked about it multiple times. Jesus, in this moment, is the relatable Jesus. In this moment, Jesus, because his soul, he is sharing with his disciples, my soul is deeply grieved, not just, I'm not depressed. I'm deeply grieved to the point of death. I could die from my grief. That is what he's saying here. You look at this picture of Jesus and you all of a sudden see him as human. I don't think we identified Jesus with truly understanding that he knows every single thing our soul craves because his soul has been deeply grieved to the point of death. I think sometimes we look at Jesus and we think, well, he doesn't understand. He's Jesus. God doesn't understand. He's God. And yet Jesus shares, and I'm so glad he said this publicly, my soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Jesus all of a sudden becomes human. Maybe to the disciples' awareness for the first time. Can you imagine being Peter, James, and John looking at each other going, what did he just say? I mean, just before he looked at Peter and he said, you're going to deny me three times before the rooster crows. You're going to deny me three times. I mean, Jesus knew that Peter, who he was sharing with, was getting ready to betray him. And yet he still opened up to Peter and said, my soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, is what Isaiah tells us. In this series that we've been in, you know, Food for the Soul, I think it's important that Jesus, for you to remember that Jesus understands grief. He understands what you face more than you do. Not just on an intellectual level, he understands it on a personal level because of the Garden of Gethsemane. And I'm wondering, as you guys have listened through these last three messages, I'm wondering about your season of Gethsemane and what you're dealing with and what you've told the Lord. You know what? I feel like I am being pressed and crushed. I feel like I am in the pressing. I am in the crushing. I am feeling the weight of the oil press on top of me. I feel like I am grieved, maybe not to the point of death, but I'm definitely grieved to the point of depression. I'm grieved to the point of no hope. I'm grieved to the point of, will things ever turn around? I am staring at my situation in a Gethsemane season in my life, and I just cannot, I hear what you're saying, Autumn, but I just cannot see a resurrection. I cannot see hope. Even though it's Easter, it is so hard, so far gone. I just cannot see it. To you today, this is for you today. I want you to read the words of Jesus. My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Who better to walk you through this season where your soul is craving than someone who felt grief to the point of death? Who better? I've come to this realization so many times in my life where I didn't know the season that I was going through, but it was a season of death so that God could usher in a fresh start, a resurrection in my life. Old things had to die so that new things could come. Old things had to pass away so that new things could come. And that's exactly where Jesus is. Verse 39, he went a little beyond them. Where does he go? And he fell on his face, the human side of Jesus in full display. He fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass." How many of you guys have said, "If it is possible, could you just stop this? Do I have to go through this? Do I have to go through this divorce? Do I have to go through this bankruptcy? Do I have to go through this child who is a prodigal? Do I have to go through this?" This is the human Jesus who understands what it's like to be facing something, and his humanity on full display admits to his God, "If it's possible, could this happen another way? Could this cup pass from me?" But he follows it up with, "Yet not as I will, but your will." How many of you are saying that today? Could this happen another way? Any other way? Any other way, I'll take anything. But the God who knew what this season in his son's life would do for the human race said no. Sometimes you have to go through. You have to go through for reasons that I can't tell you. You have to go through that bankruptcy for reasons I can't tell you. Sometimes the answer is not deliverance from the situation. It's deliverance through the situation. Sometimes you have to face whatever it is that you're walking into, and you have to walk all the way through until you walk out of that grave. Sometimes you have to enter the grave so you can come out of it. Sometimes that is God's best plan. You know why I know that? Because if he allowed Jesus to do that and we are crucified with Christ, we no longer live, but Jesus lives in us. He is going to ask that thing of us as well. Sometimes you have to go through. Sometimes the death of a situation is life to the next, and he knows that life comes after death. So this specific situation that has death attached to it, you've got to walk through it. You got to go through. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Who was Jesus consulting? His Father. His Father. If you've got to go through it, I want my Father God telling me, hey, babe, this is the only way. This is it. There isn't a plan B here. You've got to walk through this one. It's going to be hard. It's going to sting. It's going to hurt. It's going to be embarrassing. You're going to have to admit failure. But I promise you this. There's resurrection on the other side. Sometimes you got to go through, guys. Are you submitted to the through? Because here's just the plain and simple thing. I mean, Jesus, he could, I guess he could have run if he wanted to, but he knew his calling. You could stop, turn around, pivot from the Lord, run away, do whatever you want, take control of the situation if you want. But sometimes God calls us to go through. He knows the purification that that brings. He calls us to go through sometimes so we can walk out of a grave and us not be just resurrected. We can be evidence that the resurrection is still alive and well this very day. Sometimes the resurrection isn't for you. Sometimes it's for others to see that there is still hope in the name of Jesus, that Jesus is still alive. He's still doing miracles. There is life after death, and you are going to get through it too. Sometimes you have to go through, and it's not just for you, it's for others. He says, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. Now, there's other accounts in the Gospels that talk about his sweat turned to blood. That's actually a medical condition. The angels ministered to him. He was under substantial pressure. I mean, have you ever watched The Passion of the Christ? I watched it one time. I can never watch it again. Some people are like, I watch it every year. I'm like, how do you do that? I mean, it was a phenomenal film. I watched it one time. I was in college. I went with Eddie. I went with my brother and my sister. We went in there. And I mean, I remember walking into The Passion of the Christ when it first came out, and we had like drinks and candy and I don't know what we thought. Popcorn, and nobody said a word. We very quickly started like not just like pretty crying, like we were sobbing. I mean, there were sobs in the theater. No one ate any of their popcorn. No one moved. No one drank any of their drinks. And we were like, we'll just go to dinner afterwards. We went to dinner afterwards. I remember sitting in the booth and no one said a word. It's the most sobering, I think, film I've ever seen in my life, where you see with your eyes what Jesus went through for you. And that's a movie. That's not the real thing. So here we have the accounts, you know, he bled, the sweat turned to blood. And we have the accounts of the angels ministering to him and humanity on full display. Because God had said, no, this is my will. This is what I'm going to have you do for me. He came to the disciples, verse 40, and found them sleeping and said to Peter, so you men could not keep watch with me for an hour. Whew, that stung after his death, I'm telling you right now. 41, keep watching and praying that you may not enter in temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again a second time and prayed, saying, my Father, this is a son to his dad. Your kids ever ask you something more than once? This is a son speaking. My Father, If this cannot pass away unless I drink it, your will be done. Again, he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them again and went away and prayed a third time, saying the same thing once more. Three times he cried out. He was submitted to go through the betrayal, which was coming in a few short minutes, to go through the arrest, to go through the beating, to go through the crucifixion, and ultimately the death. We cannot talk about food for the soul when we talk about the bread of life. Who knows what it's like to have a soul grieved, dying to feed our soul? There's a reason, you guys, why God knows exactly what we need. Now, one of it is obviously he created us, but another reason is that he felt it. He knows what you lack. He knows how to help. Why? Because he felt it. He lived it. He took it on. Lest you think that you can fill that void another way. There is no one or nothing more qualified except for Jesus Christ to fill that need and that void every single time. He didn't just create us. He felt it. He knows what hopelessness and grief feels like. He knows what sin feels like. How do I know that? Because he took it all on himself when he died for us. He wore it for us. He doesn't just know what it feels like. He knows what all of it feels like. Sin, brokenness had to be satisfied. It had to be paid. And Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. I'll never get over this. It's why I do what I do. It's why all of us on this recording, it's why we do what we do. On my entire team, it's why we do what we do. It's why every pastor this Sunday is going to be getting up and sharing with you about what Jesus did for you, because their lives have been changed. It's why the workers come in early. It's why the workers give of themselves all day, a couple days. They give up their Easter for you, because this Jesus, our Savior, sacrificed so much and it's changed their lives forever. It's why every worship band right now is in heavy preparation for Sunday. It's why churches plan Easter services sometimes a year in advance to prepare for you. Because we've all realized the same thing. Nothing satisfies. Nothing. Nothing is good enough to satisfy our souls like the forgiveness and the peace and the love and the deliverance of Jesus Christ. Nothing will ever satisfy ever like that. How could all these millions of people get it wrong? Generation upon generation, century upon century. We're all saying the same thing. My generation stands on the shoulders of the first generation, and we are singing the same song. Nothing satisfies my soul like Jesus. No success, no amount of money, nothing. Nothing. So he let himself be arrested. He let himself be beaten. He let himself be crucified. He was submitted on the cross through it all. Why? Because of you. And because of me. But what comes after? Death. Life. Now, after the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the grave. And behold, a severe earthquake had occurred, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it. And his appearance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. The guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, just as he said. Come and see where he was." He's not here. He's not here. Sometimes you have to go through and thank God in heaven. He sent his son, Jesus, to pay the price for my sin so that I can go through and have hope on the other side of my very own Gethsemane season. 20 years ago, in 2002, 22 years ago, in April, I gave my life to Christ. And what a ride it's been ever since then. I'll never go back. Ever. I don't want to go back. He changed my life. He changed me from the inside out. He changed me on the inside first. And then it started trickling out. Wasn't the outside in. I wasn't no whitewashed tomb. I was the opposite. He changed me from the inside out. And I was radically saved that night at 3 a.m. in the morning that I've talked about so many times. And I want to ask you today, have you come to a place where you have asked Jesus to be the Lord of your life? I know there's thousands of you that are listening to this. Have you ever made a commitment to a relationship with Jesus? That's what the Easter story is all about. We are sinners. All of us, as the Bible says, all of us is sin, fallen short of the glory of God. All of us. All of us. We've fallen short. Adam in the garden, Eve in the garden, ushered in sin. Well, that sin had to be paid. Jesus was the payment for sin for all mankind for all time. All have sinned and fallen short. But because of his death, he gives us, when we repent of sin, forgiveness. And I just wonder today, has there been a time and a place that you can remember where you have said, "Forgive me for my sin, Lord. I'm asking you to forgive me for my sin and come into my life based on your sacrifice on the cross. Forgive me and be the Lord of my life." Have you done that? We talk a lot about the benefits of having a relationship with Christ, but I'm not naive to the fact that every single person that listens to my podcast is a believer and has made that commitment. I want to give you an invitation today, and it's going to be very simple. If you have come to the point where you're like, "I've never committed my life to Christ ever," and today's the day, you might be scared. You might be going, what the heck is this? What's she doing? This is different. Forgive me for not doing this more often. But I got saved 22 years ago around Easter time. And I want to give you the opportunity as you listen today to ask Jesus to come into your life. You just repeat right after me. You can do it in your mind. You can do it out loud. I don't care. Jesus, your word says, "I'm a sinner. I've sinned. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." That's what your word says. Repeat this. Jesus, forgive me for my sin. I'm ready to invite you into my life, to be the Lord of my life. I believe you died on the cross for my sin so that one day I can go to heaven when I die. Come into my life and save me. I commit my life to yours. In Jesus' name, amen. I believe if you just prayed that prayer like I did 22 years ago, you're in the family. Welcome to the family. It's going to be the ride of your life. The Bible says heaven rejoices when one sinner repents. There is a party in heaven right now because of you. If that was you, please send us a message and let us know. And maybe now all the stuff that I talk about is going to make sense. I want to also extend the invitation for those of you that did ask Jesus to come into your heart, you know, come into your life, maybe many, many years ago, and you've veered. You know, you're messing around with a little bit of sin and you're just ready to recommit your life, recircle your life, recenter your life on the power of the Lord and the resurrection. You want him to be the center. I want to pray for you as well. So Lord, I just pray for that individual who they know you, Lord, but they want to get back on track. God, I pray that you would give them a new experience with you. I pray, Lord, that you would restore to them the joy of their salvation. I pray right now, Lord, as I'm praying, that they would make a commitment to you, that they would turn away from whatever it is that they know that they don't need to be involved in, and that they would fix their eyes back on you. I pray that this Easter is an Easter of resurrection in them. We love you, Lord. We thank you. You're the God of the second, third, fourth, 10th, 15th, 40th chance. You never weary. You never weary, Lord, of being faithful to us. I love that about you. Thank you, Lord, for your forgiveness. In Jesus' name, amen. Today's the day, guys. Let's go into this Easter holiday weekend strong. Go to church, bring your mama, bring your daddy, bring your aunt, help out in the childcare because they're going to need it. There's going to be lots of babies up in there. You know that. And all those babies are going to look so cute. You know that too. Get involved in your church, guys. Start fresh. Fresh start. Just like my candle. And it smells so good, y'all. Welcome to the family, to all those new believers. I love you. Love you. I loved you before. I love you now. We're a safe place for you. And hopefully good ground for you to walk with as you grow in your relationship with Christ. I love y'all. I'll be back right after the break for a testimony and a question from you. I'll see you in a second.
We have a liftoff. Yeah, stand on a rock and I roll like a lion. Demons came at me, I knew they were lying. Put on my armor and then started shining. Unloaded a clip, the spirit was flying. Pressure been building, it's all about timing. Stand on a rock, I stand on a diamond. Stand on a rock, a vessel like duck. Demons came at me, I put them in chuck. Firm foundation, my fear got popped. God on my life and he put it on lock. Holding the city since 14. Yeah. Put an enemy to sleep like it's codeine. God got my back and it's home like an OG. Yeah. So I'ma keep fighting like it's OT.
Are you new to this whole Jesus thing and don't know where to start? Or maybe you've been following him for a while and you want to dig deeper into the Word of God. Then you've come to the right place. Each month, Autumn hosts an online, in-depth Bible study through Facebook Live called The Jesus Initiative. The Jesus Initiative is a monthly spiritual challenge to anyone willing to join and grow deeper in their faith. She covers topics such as how to wait when waiting is hard, moving forward in faith even when you're terrified, and how to combat the spiritual warfare in your mind. Autumn's desire is to help break down complex topics in a way that's easy for everyone to understand and implement into their everyday lives. The goal of the Jesus Initiative is to tackle real-life topics in a real-life way, grounded in the Word of God. Understanding the things of God doesn't have to be hard. If you're a believer who wants to grow in your faith and strengthen your relationship with God, these Bible studies will challenge you in all the right ways. Simply search Autumn Miles on Facebook or follow her on Instagram at Autumn Miles and click the follow button so you can stay in the loop for when the next Bible study starts.
4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
I have an awesome testimony, you guys, that I'm going to read it to you. At the beginning of the year, I saw your challenge. I love this because I did challenge you to pick 5 major prayers and write them down. Pull them out and pray over them with faith every day. I did that and have committed them to praying without ceasing. Last night, as I was praying over them, I love this. This is so real. I realized that since I started praying at the beginning of the year, all 5 situations, one of which is the, all 5 of the situations have major setbacks. I feel like the more I pray, the more resistance there is, and my feelings are telling me to give up, to not just give up praying for these things because nothing is changing, so God's not going to answer them. Is that the enemy? Is it God testing how faithful I am? What is it? I don't know, but I'll continue to stand in faith, shaky as I am, and will continue to wait on God for an answer. Now, I think this was a testimony because she's still praying, or he's still praying, whoever this is. So I'm going to do it as like a testimony question together. Okay. First of all, I'm really proud of you for praying and continue to praying. Second of all, let me ask you a question. When you commit 5 things to prayer, asking God to intervene, do you actually think that the enemy is going to make it easy? Don't you think that when you start committing things to prayer, that's when the enemy gets involved and says, nope, these have been strongholds in their life for so long. I'm going to fight this because I want these 5 things in their life to keep holding them captive. The enemy, does not give up ground nicely. Just because we say, please give up the ground that you've taken that's rightfully mine, doesn't mean he's like, okay, no problem, and steps aside. Heck no. He is going to fight. When you decide to get serious about your prayer life, when you decide to stand in the gap on behalf of a person or a problem, don't you think that's when the forces of evil are going to fight you? Let me tell you, yes, ma'am, it is. I am not shocked at all that all 5 of these things have gotten worse. I have prayed through 5 things this year as well. Started in January. I do this every year. And let me tell you something, all 5 got horribly worse. And then there was breakthrough. Why? Because the enemy understands he is defeated, but he can defeat your faith if you let him. So he knows that God's going to come in and intervene. He knows the power that God holds in his tiny little fingernail. He knows that he can steamroll over him whenever he wants, but he's fighting your faith and belief that God is actually going to come through. If he can get you to stop believing, maybe he can stop these prayers from being prayed by you. But when it gets hard, that's when you lean in. That is not when you give up. Lean that thing in, girlfriend. You need to lean in to the power of God, not the power of your feelings. Lean that thing in. When it gets hard in my life, I lean in. I do not pull back because I know breakthrough is coming. I loved this. I love that it was like a praise, but also a question all at the same time. That's real. That is real. And I'm proud of you for praying. Keep it. This is when you get resolute, when you say, no, no, God is going to come through. Don't you think it looked so upsetting to the disciples when Jesus died? Yes, they didn't know what to do. They were terrified. They're all gathered in one place. They didn't know what to do. They were terrified. And then he resurrected from the dead 3 days later. Let me tell you something. Lean in, because there's a supernatural battle going on that you can't even see. You can feel it, but you can't see it. So lean in. This is a good testimony ? And I wanted to do them all together. That's all for me today. Happy Easter. Oh my gosh, have so much fun with your family. I've already gotten my my 8-year-old and my 9-year-old. They're different ages right now. They're Easter outfits. I got to get my older kids Easter outfits. We got to do the thing. Have so much fun. Remember why we celebrate. It is our Super Bowl, guys. So let's celebrate. Eat all the ham, eat all the eggs, the potato salad. Do the thing. It's a good day. Happy Easter. Love y'all. I'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in to the Autumn Miles Show. Be sure to follow Autumn on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube to stay connected and in the loop with what's happening with the ministry. Just search for Autumn Miles in your internet browser. AutumnMiles.com is also the place where you can book Autumn for your next speaking engagement. She is devoted to spiritually challenging people and the way that they think. She is a passionate advocate for the Word of God, women, domestic violence victims, and adoption. Reach out today and book Autumn for your next speaking engagement. Just go to autumnmiles.com. Once you're there, search the top of the index for the Invite Autumn tab, then scroll down for more information. Thanks again for joining us today. Be sure to tune in next time for another episode of the Autumn Miles Show.